And I'm so glad that you're watching online. But we just want to say to all of you that are watching online, we miss you. We are praying for you, and we are looking forward to the day when we can all gather again. Listen, you are not forgotten. We know you're there. We're glad you're there, and we are praying with you. And I see all y'all. I'm glad you're there. How many of you know it is nice to be seen these days? I heard somebody say that the other day. I was out and about, and I said, "So good to see you." And they said, "It's nice to be seen." Come on, that has a brand new meaning today. Listen, we are the church, and wherever you are this morning, you are a part of us, and we are glad you're here, and we are glad that you are watching online. But let's take our Bibles right now, whether yours is on electronic device like mine, or it might be leather bound. Either way, let's take your Bibles, let's hold them up, and let's say the words that are up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we believe those words that we just spoke, and we are expecting today that you will bring about the needed change. You will share your wisdom. You will build us up today. You will speak to us. You will help us win battles. And Lord, if somewhere we have forgotten or lost sight of all that belongs to us, all that you've done for us in Jesus, oh, thank you for helping us to bring that back to remembrance today and to live in the light of it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in a series right now, and we titled the series Spiritual Warfare. And I just want to remind you today that when it comes to spiritual warfare and winning battles, the spiritual battles that we face in our life, they are the most important battles. Come on, they're the battles that we need to win. If we don't win the spiritual battles, if we don't know how to do spiritual warfare, our lives will not be what Jesus died and purchased for us to have, for our lives to be. And so I want you to understand that we're doing this series because it's so vital for you. I want you to experience victory. I want you to win battles. And so let's continue with this series today. And I want to continue with the message that I've simply entitled, Wear the Helmet. Can you say that with me? Wear the helmet. Listen, I want you to remember that. Put your helmet on. And so let's get into this series today once again by going back to our text scripture that's found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start reading with verse 11, and I want to review for you four foundational truths. Then we'll move into today's message. Ephesians 6:11. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, there are four foundational truths. We could say it this way, things you need to know about spiritual warfare. Four things. And they're found in this passage. Paul is writing to a church like he would write to Faith Life Church. He's teaching them about spiritual warfare. Here's the first truth. We need to recognize or acknowledge we're in a spiritual battle, and though it is invisible, it's our battle. Come on, some Christians act like they're surprised when the devil does something to them. What's happening? You're in a battle. Come on. You're in a warfare. Good versus evil. It's your battle. There's a big battle going on in the world, good versus evil. There's a battle in each of our lives. We need to recognize we're in a battle. Come on. Get your suit up. Suit up. Get in the game. Now here's the second thing Paul teaches us. You need to know who your enemy is, or know your enemy, who your enemy is, and who your enemy isn't, or who isn't your enemy. I'm going to say this again, and Paul said it here. He said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. People are not the enemy. Now, I know people are influenced by evil. I know that Satan uses certain people, but they're not the problem. The real enemy is the evil influence behind them. And Paul gives us insight into how to win some battles. Some of you today could have some relationships restored. You could see some changes in some situations if you just stop attacking. Oh, my mic just fell off and that was a jerk. That was it. Somebody jerked my chain there. I'll let my husband put it back on. Actually, you can put it on the outside. Just cover it with that. I must have jumped too much. I must have got excited in praise and worship.
This is the best part of Sunday service.
Now, how am I supposed to get that back? You know, you put men on the stage and that's what happens. Women belong. No, come on, let's get it back. Let's get it back. Now, my mic's back on and all is well. I totally lost my place. Know who your enemy is. Your enemy's not people. Your enemy's not your ex-spouse. Come on. Your enemy's not your boss. But that brings us to the third foundational truth, and here it is. We must recognize evil spirits are arrayed against us. We do have an enemy. We just said in the very first message, demons are for real. There really are wicked spirits in heavenly places. There is a devil that's against us. Here's the fourth truth, and probably the most important one, and that is put on God's armor. A well-dressed soldier wins the war. And so we have been talking about the different parts of God's armor that you need to put on so you win the war. And today, we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Come on, say, wear the helmet. Now, go with me if you will. We're going to keep reading there in Ephesians chapter 6, but we're going to start reading in verse 13 and go on down. We're going to read the pieces of the armor. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He says here to every believer, put on the helmet of salvation. How many of you know every soldier needs a helmet? You need a helmet on because you're in a war. And you would never see a soldier go into battle without their helmet on. In fact, one of their buddies or one of their friends would tell the gal or the guy, you better get your helmet on, protect yourself. Listen, your pastor is telling you today, wear the helmet. Put it on. Put on the helmet of salvation. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor James, we know that Paul here was writing a letter to a church. So why is he telling people who've already experienced salvation to put on a helmet called salvation? Good question. But just the piece of armor itself gives us insight into what Paul is trying to get across. It's the helmet of salvation. It covers our head. If you think about our head and what happens there, I even used it there, think about, well, our head is where we think, it's where we reason, it's where we calculate, we make decisions based on what's going on in my head. Now, I bet you've said this, we've said it too, you said, I don't know what's going on in their head. Yeah. And here's my question today, what's going on in your head? You better cover it with the helmet of salvation. In fact, we could say this about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation symbolizes our need to have a clear and working knowledge of all that belongs to us in salvation. Come on, you need to be clear. In fact, I could say this. Every spiritual warrior must have a clear knowledge of their salvation. Come on, spiritual warriors. That's what you are. And so as a spiritual warrior, to win the spiritual war, you gotta have your head on straight. You gotta know who you are in Christ. You gotta know what belongs to you. In fact, when I think about salvation, the helmet of salvation, and thinking clearly, having the knowledge of that, I think about this. Salvation is a package deal. And so here's what salvation is about and what you would need to know. You need to know whose you are. You need to know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Yeah, you need to know that. You need to have your thoughts clear about that. Don't be confused about that. You could say this, salvation is about whose we are, who we are, and what we have in Christ. And we know this, if our enemy can get us confused about what belongs to us, he can defeat us. If our enemy can get us confused about what belongs to us, he can defeat us. Listen, here's what I've seen throughout my spiritual journey and in ministry, dealing with a lot of believers. I've seen people who are literally spiritually unconscious. It's like they suffered a spiritual concussion and they're not thinking straight. I can tell by the way they're talking. I can tell by how they're approaching things that they've lost sight of whose they are. Their thinking tells me that they're not living in light of who they are in Christ. It's not only whose you are, it's because of who you are, then it's who you are in Christ, and then what you have in Christ. They're confused. Now, I want you to understand this morning the purpose of the helmet of salvation, because I want you to be inspired to wear it. I want you to understand how vital it is. And what we've just been talking about, you losing spiritual consciousness, has a lot to do with the purpose of the helmet of salvation. But I want to dig a little deeper into the purpose. So I want to take you to another scripture, a scripture in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And here the Apostle Peter is writing to the church, talking about spiritual warfare and telling us to stay alert. 1 Peter 5, 8. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, since we're talking about the helmet of salvation, and then we read this scripture, stay alert, I think we see here that the number one purpose of the helmet of salvation is to keep us alert. Yeah. You need to have your wits about you. You need to stay conscious in a spiritual battle. Listen, when the enemy is telling you that you're not going to make it, you better be conscious of whose you are. When he's coming against you and he's bombarding you with fear or anxiety, maybe he's bringing up past mistakes. Come on, you better not lose sight of what the Lord has done for you. Listen, the helmet of salvation, it does protect us so we don't lose sight of what Jesus has done for us, even in the midst of a battle. In fact, if we look at that word, stay alert there, those two words actually come from one Greek word, and it literally means to be awake. What would you think of a soldier who fell asleep in battle? You'd say, he's going to be taken out. Are you asleep when it comes to what you have in Christ? We need to think clearly. It also means to be roused from sleep, to be watchful. I like that, to be roused from sleep. Come on, I bet you've had that happen to you in a battle. All of a sudden, the enemy's lying to you, and you were thinking it was the truth. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started reminding you of whose you are. what you have in Christ, and you are roused from your sleep. And all of a sudden, you begin to attack the enemy because you begin to think straight. And listen, when you're thinking straight, you can make some good decisions. You can take the right actions because you have a clear mind. You know whose you are. You know what you have in Christ and who you are in Christ. Wow! You're going to win some battles. Wear the helmet. Put it on. I'm going to share with you in a minute today really how to put it on. But that word, not only do you see the word stay alert there, but you see the word devour. And that's why we need to stay alert, is because we recognize that the enemy is on the prowl. He wants to take you out. Listen, all of us know people that the enemy has taken them out. There's a friend of mine. In fact, she's in heaven now. But years ago, we were young teachers. I was just out of Bible school. She was out of college, not too many years. Well, I'd gone to college, and then I went to Bible school. And we started attending the same church, and we were both hired on staff at a young school that was coming up. And we were both fired up about the Word of God. We were watching the same broadcast. We were reading the same word. This is years ago. I was in my early 20s. And, you know, I mean, just fired up, going to meetings together. Well, eventually, you know, we went our separate ways. I moved on to another church, and she moved somewhere, and we kind of lost touch. And in several years later, probably like 10, 15 years later, I was somewhere, and somebody said, oh, you know, so-and-so, here they are. And, you know, I said, well, how are they doing? They said, they're okay. I said, well, what church are they in? They said, they don't go to church anymore. I said, you're kidding me. They said, no. They don't go to church anymore. In fact, this was a family member of theirs that I had met. And I said, they're not in church. Folks, don't think that the devil won't take you out. He will take you out. He doesn't play games. Now, I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm just trying to get you to think straight. The Bible's true. There's an enemy, and he's on the prowl. And he's looking for those who aren't wearing their helmet. He's looking for those that he can devour, those who don't know who they are, those who don't know whose they are, those who don't know what they have in Christ. And that word devour literally means to swallow up, to destroy. Wow. But knowing all that is afforded to us in salvation and thinking like somebody who is saved keeps us from being devoured. The helmet of salvation keeps us alert so we know who the enemy is. Now, let me say this. I think sometimes we get confused about the armor. But think about natural and in a battle and why a soldier wears an armor. Any piece of armor. He wears the piece of armor because he's going into battle. He knows he's going to be shot at. That's what happens in a battle. He knows the enemy has strategies that are going to be used against him to try to defeat him or her. Come on. But can I tell you, can I just remind you today, the armor of God will defeat every strategy of the enemy. I don't care how he comes against you, God's armor will protect you, will keep you in the game long term. You don't have to be taken out. Your marriage doesn't have to fail. Your kids don't have to go down that way. Come on, wear the helmet. Put it on. Now, but I just want you to understand that just because you're wearing the helmet doesn't mean that you're not going to get any blows. No, you're wearing the helmet because you know he's going to try to mess with your head. Mm-hmm. He's going to mess with your thoughts. He's going to tell you you're not what Jesus says you are. He's going to tell you you're not going to have what the Bible says you're going to have. Come on, that's who he is. We got to remain clear-headed. He's going to attack our thoughts. He's trying to get us to doubt our salvation. Can you remember a time where the enemy really dealt you a blow? You see, that's what the enemy tries to do. Whether it's just life that deals you a blow, or whether really we open the door, or maybe it's somebody in our life that we love that has opened the door and they're being attacked. The enemy's dealt us a blow. He's hit us hard. I mean, we're in a battle. And then once circumstances turn against us, that's when he begins to aim his strategy. His strategy then is to aim his arrows at our thoughts. Well, if God loved you, why is this happening? If God loved you, why isn't that happening? Listen, you may find yourself reeling from a divorce. You may find yourself in a financial setback. You may find yourself betrayed by a friend. You may find yourself broken because of some situation in your family. And it's in moments like that when we're vulnerable. You may find yourself that you've prayed this prayer for so long and there's still no answer. It's in times like that that the enemy sneaks in and he tries to tell us we're not who the Bible says we are, that we won't ever have what Jesus died for us to have. And listen, you got to think straight in times like that. You got to keep your helmet of salvation on. You got to stand up. Come on. How many know you can stand up spiritually? You can be sitting down somewhere, but standing up on the inside. I'll never forget that. I was a substitute teacher years ago, first getting into teaching, and I was teaching the second grade class, and there was this little girl. You know, y'all were all students, and those of you who are students, you know what you do to substitute teachers. Come on. And they were misbehaving. This one little girl was really misbehaving. So finally, she just kept standing up and walking around and just doing what she wanted to do. So finally, I made her sit down, and I told her she was going to have to sit in a timeout for 5 minutes. And so I sat her down, and I said, 5 minutes, put the timer there. And just before I walked away, she's kind of under her breath, but close enough where I could hear, but not so the whole class could hear. But she said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but standing up on the inside. How many of you know we can do that? Yes. Come on. And our circumstances may look like we're falling apart, but on the inside, come on, folks, you got your helmet of salvation on. You're thinking about what belongs to you. You're thinking about what God is working out for you. You're thinking about how good this is going to turn out, because God is your Father, and he's coming after this enemy. He's going to work everything together for good, because you got the helmet of salvation on. Amen. The helmet of salvation keeps us alert so we don't lose consciousness. Now, let me just make sure you understand another way that he kind of sneaks in there. Or do I want to do that now, or do I want to? No, let me hold off on that one. You see, after a hard hit, he wants us to doubt, become discouraged, and just give up. He doesn't want us to experience his salvation. But I want to talk for just a minute about the dangers of being unconscious. There's some dangers of being unconscious, and I'm talking about because you didn't have your helmet on, you get knocked in the head. Have you ever met somebody who had a concussion? Well, my husband. Can you hear? I mean, he told me I could tell this story, so I'm going to talk about the dangers of being unconscious. Can you hand me the helmet? Now, he's a guy, and guys just do this. I don't know why. To me, I would have already washed this helmet, but he did show me this morning there's still some blood on the helmet. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, this is his bike helmet. Wear the helmet. So thank God he's a biker, so when he bikes, he wears his helmet. But he had an accident, hit a car, went through the back window of the car, broke out the glass, and then landed on the pavement. But thank God he had his helmet on. But even in the natural, and I'm talking not spiritually now, but naturally, on. But even in that, even with having his helmet on, he had lost, he was confused. And he had the wreck right in our neighborhood. And so someone came to the door, because at least he was conscious enough to tell them our address. And literally it was within our neighborhood, just right around the corner. And so a person comes to my house a couple of Saturdays ago, knocks on the door, says, your husband's been in a bike accident. I need you to come down there. So I go down there. Jeff's laying on the grass. He's not moving. And if you know my husband, if he's not moving, he'd usually be up saying, don't bring any doctors. The paramedics were on the way. They had a cloth on his face because there was a big gash and just, you know, he was just cut, bruised up. So I started talking to him and it was obvious right away that he wasn't thinking straight. And then the paramedics get there and, you know, they ask the normal questions, you know, what's your name, what year it is, and he was struggling with the year. So then they asked him, you know, where do you work? And I saw him, you know, he's trying to think, where do I work? And so they saw that was a little difficult question. So I figured the paramedic would say, let me ask him something easy. And so he goes, who's the president? And you know what Jeff's response was? I work for him. He does not work for the president. But I think because he wasn't thinking clearly, he was still thinking half about where he worked. And then they asked him who the president was. And so he just said, I work for him. It was obvious at that point, come on, that something had happened. There had been a head injury. He wasn't thinking straight. Listen, eventually, and then when we went to the ER, and we're in the ER, I can't tell you how many times he asked me the same question. He couldn't remember, you know, what had happened. Oh, I know, he said, it's coming back to me. I was on my bike. I said, yeah, you're on your bike, you know. And then he said, well, what happened? And I said, you hit a car. He said, I did. How bad is that? And I showed him the picture. You went through that window. You broke all the glass. Oh, I did. I've got scrapes and bruises. Is the car okay? I mean, we got to pay for the car. I said, no, the lady's insurance will pay for it because she's parked in the road. Oh, okay. Well, the bike is ruined. I said, no, it was Stephen's bike. The bike's okay. Okay. And 5 minutes later, he goes, it's coming back to me. I was on the bike. I said, yeah. And he goes, what did I hit? You hit a car. Come on. Listen, you need to make sure that you learn who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Or, come on, now this is good too. Listen, sometimes we get hit in life and you better be around the right people. Hey, who can remind you of who you are and what you have? That's why you go to church. That's why you have a church. That's why you need to be in a small group. Because sometimes we get bumped and we forget, and I'm glad there are people around me who say, no, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. No, God's going to come through for you. Come on, we got to help one another out in times, but we got to be wearing our helmet of salvation. Now, real quickly, let me just tell you some dangers of being unconscious. I'm going to hand this bloody helmet back to him. Here's some dangers of being unconscious. Let me get back to my message here. There's some dangers when you're unconscious, and we don't ever want to be found that way, especially in a battle. Got to remain with our head clear. We become confused about who we are. These are the dangers. We become confused about who we are. We can't remember what belongs to us. And then here's the different angle that I wanted to bring out too. You see, when we don't wear our helmet, the enemy also confuses us about who the real problem is. He works tirelessly against us to defeat us. But then when something happens and he wins a little battle, maybe we gave way to him, maybe something happens, then he convinces us that the broken relationship, that the mistake, the sin, was all our fault. We're confused. Well, the truth is, folks, who confused you to begin with? The truth is, if you went back to the real source, you'd find out that the reason why you did that, the reason why you said that, the reason why you were even in that position is because the enemy, come on, was working on you in the beginning. It wasn't all you. And when we're unconscious about our salvation, sometimes we begin to believe that we're the problem. You're not the problem. He's the problem. You're a child of God. Wow. He loves to cause us, and this is one of the dangers of being unconscious, is we begin to view ourselves as the problem. No, The enemy's the problem. Now, don't follow him. Don't listen to him. But if you'll begin to recognize that maybe you are where you are because of what he's done, not just what you did. And then attack him. Some of you needed to hear that. Listen, when we have the helmet of salvation on, we can have a clear head in the midst of confusing circumstances. We can have a strong faith in God and his word. We can receive all that Jesus provided for us in salvation. We can stay alert and win the battle. Now, as we close this out today, I don't have much time, but I just want to give you two things that you need to do when it comes to wearing your helmet. How do you put it on? How do you put on the helmet of salvation? Number one, know God's word. Know it. And when I'm talking about know God's word, I'm talking about know whose you are, know what you have in Christ, know what belongs to you. So who are you? You are God's child. You're a child of God. John 1:12 says this, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You do know God takes care of his own. Mm-hmm. Don't let a blow to the head cause you to lose sight that you're God's child. I say this often, but it's worth repeating. I use it in illustrations, but when we adopted our two boys, they became McDonough's. And there's some things they have today. In fact, somebody, we were talking the other day, and they said, oh, no, give that to your boys. I said, uh-uh. She goes, yeah, they're spoiled. They have enough. They have more than enough. Come on, why? Because of whose they are. Come on, you have more than enough because of whose you are. Here's the second thing you need to know. You need to know who you are in Christ. And bottom line, here's who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has become. You're a brand new you, a brand new person. You're not the same old person. The enemy will try to tell you are, but you know better. You may be acting the same, but you're not the same. Yeah. And then third, what you have in Christ. Here's what you have. You're blessed. Ephesians 1:3. It says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. You know what those blessings are? Here's what you have in Christ. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And that word blessed there, it literally means to cause, to prosper. It means to make happy, to bestow blessings on. It means favored of God. Wow. Do you know what belongs to you? The favor of God, the power to prosper in any situation. That came in your salvation package because you were united with Christ. That's what you have in Christ. Think straight. Think about it. Think on it. Know it. Now, not only do you need, number one, know God's word, you need to, number two, we talk about wearing the helmet, putting it on, live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, a very simple passage. It says, for we live by faith, not by sight. New Living says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. To believe is to simply have faith. How do you live by faith? Every day you get up, put on your helmet of salvation, trusting that you are God's child, trusting who you are in Christ, a brand new creation, and then thanking God for prospering you because of all you have because of Christ. Really, I'll say this about faith. Faith talks like the word of God is true, and faith acts like it is true. Come on, act like you're saved. Talk like you're saved. Bottom line, as we close this out, you need to know whose you are. You need to know and live in the light of what you have in Christ and who you are in Christ. And I'll encourage you today, never lose consciousness when it comes to your salvation. Wear your helmet. Come on, say it with me. Wear your helmet. Did you get something out of that today? I pray that you did.